next guest, her work, The Newcomers, provides a layered portrait of the students and explains the daunting refugee crisis in America and elsewhere. This, a starred review by Publishers Weekly, she puts an agonizing human face on a vast global problem. Let's talk about this problem, how perhaps we can help, and how Helen Thorpe writes. She's authored Soldier Girls and Just Like Us, I think we've spoken before, The Newcomers, Finding Refuge, Friendship, and Hope in an American Classroom. Good morning to you, Helen.
Good morning. Thanks so much for chatting today. It.
Yes, thank you for you. You live in beautiful Denver. You have been a staff writer for many of the New York Observers, New Yorkers, and more radio stories we've heard on this American Life and more. This your third book, The Newcomers. How did you find this niche to write, Helen?
I spent a year inside of a classroom at South High School in Denver, and that high school is where kids who arrive from another country speaking foreign languages other than Spanish, or kids who arrive with schooling that's been interrupted, usually by war, they all are directed towards this one high school in Denver. So I spent a year inside the beginner level English language acquisition class and watched this heroic teacher teach English to 22 kids who spoke 14 different languages. And the most amazing thing about the room was the kids perfectly mapped the global crisis. If there's a country producing refugees, somebody from that place wound up in this classroom at some point during the school year.
Right. Let's talk about your storyline, The Newcomers. What do we find in your work?
Well, first of all, I'm showing how the teacher even begins to teach immersion English, because the kids can't understand a word he's saying when they show up. But he uses all kinds of, you know, it's very funny and humorous, but like all kinds of body language and visual aids to cue them into what's happening. But I also spend lots of time with the kids themselves, and they're teenagers. They want to get to know one another. They want to flirt. They want to make friends. They want to have sleepovers, but they can't talk to one another in a language that they all understand. So they wind up a lot of times like using Google Translate app on their cell phones to text one another, or, you know, using pidgin English, or finding cognates in, say, an African language and Arabic, or between Spanish and Portuguese. So they manage to communicate nonetheless. And then over the course of the school year, their English grows and grows. And by the end of the year, you know, it's a very happy room filled with kids talking to one another, flirting with one another all the time, just as ordinary teenagers do everywhere. And then I visit the families at home of a few of the kids who have really noteworthy stories. So I spent a lot of time with a Congolese family and an Iraqi family. Congo is actually the country that sent the Democratic Republic of Congo is the country that sent the most refugees to the U.S. Last year and the year before. And then Iraq is much in the news, and I was really interested in the stories of the two sisters from Iraq because they lost their dad when he helped American troops. And I think that story is generally what you hear if you talk to people from Iraq who've immigrated to this country. Generally, they were helping Americans during the invasion and then were targeted after that. And it's not really well understood.
Put a your intensive long year reporting puts a human face on these debates, these faces of these 22 newly arrived teenagers. What, taking this beginning level English language acquisition class, can you talk about Lisbeth from El Salvador? Tell me a story.
Sure. So most of the kids in the room are refugees, and their families arrived with legal status. They had gone through the refugee vetting process. There were a couple kids from Central America, however, and in those cases, while there's extensive violence at home, they don't arrive with official refugee status. And Lisbeth was an asylum seeker. So her mom had worked as a police officer in El Salvador. She had arrested gang members. Fellow gang members threatened her mom, and after the death threats, her mom immigrated to the United States without legal status. And then the gang members targeted her children, so Lisbeth started getting death threats, and an uncle put her on a bus It was just Lisbeth and her younger brother. So Lisbeth was 15 and her younger brother was 12, and the uncle sent them off to the U.S. to go meet their mom, and they traveled here on their own. They were picked up by immigration authorities at the border, but because they were unaccompanied minors, she wound up in our court system. If a minor arrives without an adult, we have an asylum process to determine, is it safe to send that minor back to their country of origin, or is it so dangerous there, and do they face such a specific threat that we need to give them asylum? So she was in this classroom awaiting the outcome of her court process to determine whether she's going to remain in the U.S. or not. But she was just an hilarious kid. She was constantly, you know, she has like 5,000 friends on Facebook, and she's very, very sociable. She's always talking to the other kids. She had the habit of speaking to the other kids in Spanish. She had the habit of speaking to the other kids in Spanish, whether or not they could understand her. And while the teacher was trying to teach the students English, Lisbeth was busy teaching them Spanish so that they could communicate with her in her home language. She was a joy to be around, very affectionate, friendly, very funny.
It's nice. A couple of minutes left. Helen Thorpe with us. Her book is out, The Newcomers, Finding Refuge, Friendship, and Hope in an American Classroom. Can you talk a little bit about, there was a teacher that you put the spotlight on, Mr. Williams?
Eddie Williams is an amazing man. His dad is Anglo, and his name sounds Anglo. His mom is Latina. He grew up in California, and his mom had grown up in a border town with Spanish-speaking parents who had immigrated from Mexico. So when she went to school, she was put into English language acquisition classes. And then her son went on to become an English language acquisition teacher. And what his mother told Eddie Williams was that she had been made to feel very embarrassed and ashamed of the fact that she spoke Spanish and that she didn't know English. So when he was teaching, his first priority was never to make his students feel the way his mom had felt. He didn't want them to feel embarrassed or ashamed if they arrive here and don't know English, because he didn't think that was constructive in terms of helping them acquire the English that they needed. So he went to great lengths to show respect, dignity to all the kids in his classroom. And I think it went a long way to building trust between him and his students and really enabled him to be very.
Helen, what's a takeaway theme you'd like from the newcomers?
You know, I think that in our dialogue, we tend to assume that refugees are a burden. And what I felt after spending a year in the company of these students and their parents was that refugee families are truly a gift. They become economically self-sufficient, typically within 3 months of arriving. And the stories that they have to share are extraordinary. And when they arrive, they're very, very grateful. But also, it's just eye-opening and illuminating to spend time with them. I learned so much about the world that I didn't know, and it really gave me a new sense of what it is to be American in this moment. We live with extraordinary privilege in this country, and we can forget that. We can take it for granted, and these families remind us how lucky we are.
How do we find out more information about your work?
You can visit my website, which is just my name, helenthorpe.com. Thorpe has an E on the end. Thorpe, and I would love for people to check it out.
Makes you unique. Helen Thorpe, thank you. The Newcomers, take care.